quorum present. You please rise and share in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. My apologies for the delay. The committee meetings in advance caused us to start a few minutes late. Will you please make sure you're signed in on the computer? We seem to still be missing a few. I'm going to ask the indulgence of the board that the first item under my report be a special presentation. State Senator Jennifer Schilling and State Representative Steve Doyle have asked to make a special presentation, and I am happy to oblige them. If you want to come forward and tell us who it is that should also come forward.
I want to thank the board, and I want to thank our chair for letting us do this, and I'd ask John and Julie Parsonow to come forward. And I think you'll understand very quickly why we're doing this here at the county board. When I was first elected to the board, I was on the Human Services Committee, and we constantly would say, boy, if people would just step up and do some volunteering, it might really help save some money for the county. Well, here is a couple who did more than step up when it came to special needs kids. They have been foster parents and they have been adoptive parents for not just one or two or three or four or five or six, 16 kids that they have, special needs kids that they have adopted, along with all sorts of foster care that they have done. And they have decided to retire, and they're heading south for the winter, and they're leaving October 1st, I think. So I didn't want to let them get out of town without this board having a chance to thank them for the great service that they have done to our community over the many, many years that they have been foster parents. And Senator Schilling and I have a citation that we want to present to them that I'll read at this point, which says, whereas John and Julie Parsonow were married in 1973 in La Crosse, and whereas, although Julie drove a special needs school bus for the Gale Electric Trempealeau School District and John worked for Train, the Parsonows decided to give up their regular jobs and become full-time foster parents, now working 24 hours a day. And whereas the family of John and Julie has over the years consisted of six of their own biological children and an additional 16 adopted children, many with special needs, and whereas John and Julie have made an incredible difference in the lives of these children and numerous other foster children which they have cared for on a temporary basis, and whereas their devotion to their family and our community has exemplified the best in public service and is so greatly appreciated, now therefore, Representative Doyle, on behalf of the Wisconsin State Assembly, with the concurrence of Senator Schilling and the Wisconsin State Senate, hereby extends congratulations to John and Julie Parsonow on the occasion of their retirement and congratulates them on their commitment and outstanding dedication to their family and the citizens of Wisconsin. I want to commend them for this great service that they have provided to us. Thank you so much. I want to mention something that's really important to know, and that is that John and Julie's philosophy in raising special needs kids was that they should be treated like everyone else, and they should have the experience that everyone else has had. And that went to the extent of, on I think it was at least three occasions, they took all the kids that they had at that particular time, loaded them in two vans, and went down to Disney World. And the kids had a full-fledged vacation down in Disney World. That's the kind of household, the loving household, that these kids got to grow up in. And we really thank them for all that they have done.
Well, John and Julie, I want to say congratulations to you. And it is clear that your heart beats strongest when it beats for others. And for your many, many years of serving others, serving for a warm, safe environment for your children, for your foster children, for the adoptive children, the family, the blended family that you have created in our community, that words are not enough, that they seem not adequate enough to say thank you so much for the giving heart that you have, for the love for others that you have, and for stepping up, because it is truly something special to be a foster parent. And I can see that your children are just bursting with pride behind you as they are smiling, and they are just so proud of you. And I just wish you the best in your retirement, that it is well deserved as you travel down to warmer weather, and that you certainly are an example for so many others about what it means to be truly selfless and to look for others in our community, and you have made that difference. So thank you very much.
They're going to thank you. Congratulations, Parsnos. Perhaps you'll send us a postcard from warmer climates and let us know how retirement is treating you. Thank you very much on behalf of La Crosse County as well. And thank you to my colleagues for giving us the opportunity to recognize the Parsnos. Back onto the agenda, if I might. At Executive Committee, we had a discussion about something completely boring in comparison to foster care, but very important and necessary, and it had to do with the conduct of public meetings and the public comment portion of committee meetings. And Executive Committee asked me just to mention this tonight and would just give a heads up that you can probably expect this in some kind of written form from me in the next couple of weeks. But I just wanted to remind everyone, especially because of the heavy agenda that we have in September and October, some of which involves public hearings, that we remind ourselves of the intent of those meetings and the format for them. So a reminder that public hearings are forums for citizens to share their opinions with us and be heard by supervisors. That in the public comment, and a public hearing is directed at a particular piece of legislation or item that the county board is considering. For example, an exotic animal ordinance. Just thought I'd bring that up for Supervisor Hampson's pleasure. The public comment portion of each committee meeting is the same notion. It's a one-way communication, the public coming in and telling us something that's on their mind. It could be related to anything within that committee's purview, not necessarily a particular piece of legislation or resolution that's moving through, but just an opportunity for the public to come and address members of a committee. You'll note that that doesn't happen at county board meetings, that that is reserved specifically for committee meetings, and that the format should be one that is consistent across the board. Whenever public hearings are held, there are sign-in sheets that the clerk prepares for members of the public to indicate if they are in favor or in opposition to a particular piece of legislation. They have the opportunity to indicate whether or not they want to speak, or if they choose not to speak, to give us their written comments. That the format for the meeting is a welcome and introduction by the committee chair and kind of laying the ground rules for the hearing, and letting the public know what to expect from that public hearing. It's possible that at some public hearings there may be a staff presentation to walk through a redistricting map, to walk through the ordinance that's being proposed or being considered at that point. And then the communication is in one direction from members of the public who have signed up sharing their opinions on that particular piece of legislation. I think as a general rule, we would agree that we want to have some basic ground rules for public hearings and for the public comment portion of a committee meeting as well, that mutual respect is the foundation of that exchange or of that event, that it is not an opportunity to make any personal attacks or direct comments at individuals, that they are being directed at the body as a whole. Interruptions of speakers or disruptions of the meetings that might come from reaction to comments, applause after a speaker or during a speaker, those should not be allowed, and that a standard time should be set for each speaker. My suggestion is that whoever's chairing the public hearing not be the timekeeper. It's hard to do each of those jobs, and that the timekeeper is charged with using a device that lets them know that each speaker has the same amount of time and that that time rule should be enforced for all speakers. And lastly, that county board supervisors are not members of the public when it comes to public hearings, that we are there to listen. That's our role in a public hearing, and that we will have ample opportunity when the debate comes to the floor to express our opinions and engage in the debate. So, again, I would expect that you can see that I'll get out to you a copy of this in writing, but I just wanted to give all of us those reminders again, because there are so many public hearings that are on our agenda for the next couple of months, which leads me to draw your attention to the two calendars that you have, the bright rose-colored one that was, I think, in our packet actually from the planning meeting, and then the lovely festive orange one for October. Please take a moment to look through that and note all of the meetings. There are a couple of public hearings on there beyond the normal ones. I don't know, Mr. O'Malley, if you wanted to draw attention to any of them in particular. It's a much more full agenda or calendar than in a typical month for us. Yeah, October is for sure, and the end of September. So the reason I'm drawing our attention to this is there have been some comments made in recent months that we haven't known about some things, or we've been surprised by votes that we've been asked to take. Part of how we avoid that is to make sure that we all take responsibility for looking at the calendar and attending the meetings that that will give us the background information we need to be able to cast our votes. I guess I said your name, so now I have to let you say something.
Actually, because I did notice one oversight on the part of my office. October 24th, a Monday at 4 o'clock, is the Executive Committee's work session on budget. Your regular Executive Committee meeting that's listed there will be on the department budgets that report to the Executive Committee. The entire budget work will be on the 24th, and additional meetings, if necessary, by the Executive Committee. I know that some members of the General Board have attended that because they're interested in hearing the discussion on the whole item.
And but time of that meeting on the 24th is at 4
o'clock. 3220. Executive Committee members should have already marked that down when we set that, but I recognize that that was not listed here, and all board members, of course, are welcome to attend that that review of the budget.
Thank you. Second, or I guess last item for me is the County Board Chair appointment procedure. You should have received in your packet two sheets of green paper, front and back. I want to acknowledge the work of the Administrative Assistant Margaret Norton upstairs. She has done yeoman's work to pull all of this information together. As we all know, there are many special committees, task forces, a lot of appointments to be made, and the administrative assistant to the county board chair is responsible for keeping track of all of those, and she does a great job of it. And there were a couple of supervisors who asked to be informed about appointments, and what Margaret has distilled from a 3-inch binder upstairs into these few sheets of paper is a listing of those committees and boards and the timing of those vacancies. So I encourage you to take a look at this. If you have questions, contact Margaret or me. I don't want to take a whole lot of time now, but I think it's a wonderful distillation of a lot of information, and I encourage you to take a look at it, spend some time with it if you haven't already, and ask questions and forward suggestions, recommendations that you have, or encourage others to nominate themselves. We always keep an open list of citizens who are interested in participating in those committees and task forces and special committees. So thank you to Margaret for putting that together. I hope that answers questions, or at least gets most of them answered. And with that, I will call on, go ahead, Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just looking at the schedule for October. October 21st, County Board meeting.
Are we on the orange sheet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on October 21st. It's a Friday.
You don't want to meet on Friday?
Oh, why not?
That's also an error on that sheet. It should say the 20th.
20th, okay.
again, apologize
Thank
for that.
Thank you. So October 20th is our county board meeting, not the 21st. In supervisors who have conference reports. It was a quiet month. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. Margaret Wood and I both went to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. She was smart and took a plane. I was stupid and took the train without a sleeper car or earplugs. But anyway, we went to a National Public Health meeting, and I got a $1,000 scholarship to go from the EPA because we toured a Superfund site in Coeur d'Alene, and we have a Superfund site here in La Crosse County. And while we were touring it, it was this huge multi-square-mile area, huge area that had all been reclaimed after a lead smelter had been there for 100 years. And they were describing the process of containing, they didn't remove all the tainted soil, they contained it with a layer of clay. And Margaret and I both thought, oh, Hank Cook would love to hear this. It's the same kind of clay he uses. So it was just, there were other things there, but touring a Superfund site was something I'd never done, and I can now take it off my bucket list. Thank you.
Any other supervisors who have conference reports? If not, I will note that cards and correspondence are on the back bulletin board. I think perhaps up there somewhere or floating around the room is a reminder that if you haven't already turned in your United Way pledge form, would you please do that this evening? Turn them into the county clerk. Any committees holding meetings in recess? If not, consent agenda. Moved by Supervisor Sobranek, seconded by Supervisor Plesha to approve the consent agenda. Is there discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Are you opposing it, Mr. Sobranek?
No, I was out of order. I wanted to make a comment under the chair's report before the consent agenda.
Oh, well, let's finish up with the consent agenda. Are there any no's to the consent agenda? The consent agenda is approved unanimously. Supervisor Sobranek. Got to be quick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank all the people that participated and came to the county board picnic. I think it was one of the best ones we ever had. I'd like to thank Jeff Blusky for bringing the horseshoes and the bocce ball and getting everybody into all that. Marilyn Pedretti for the bean bags. Charlie Haney for bringing the easels. Pictures of the past county board. And I know this may upset you, Madam Chair, but I would like to thank you and Tim. I will not divulge you asked me not to do this, but I just wanted to thank you for all the behind-the-scenes things that you and your husband, Tim, did for the picnic. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks again to you and Supervisor Benrood for hosting. Public Works and Infrastructure, Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Authorization, item 9-6, authorization to replace facilities department truck. Public Works Committee passed a resolution on a 4-3 vote. The Executive Committee defeated the resolution on a 3-6 vote. Whereas the facility department needs to replace the 98 Toyota Tacoma truck, which was recalled and brought back to Toyota last month for $11,865. Whereas the vehicle is utilized extensively by the facilities department, various times by other departments to travel to outlying county sites to vendors for supply purchases and plowing of the county parking lots. Whereas the facility department has received $6,478 from the sale of used kitchen equipment and is available for transfer, whereas the facilities department has funds remaining and available after purchase of a budgeted capital equipment purchase in an amount of $2,600, whereas the facilities department has advertised and received new sealed bids for the replacement of Toyota Tacoma truck, whereas the response bids accepted by the Public Works Department are listed below, Madam Chair. Do you want me to read them all?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Now, therefore, be resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the facilities department to purchase a compact pickup truck from Ewall Automotive in an amount of $18,016. Be it further resolved, the facilities department director is authorized to purchase a new topper to be put on the compact pickup truck. Be it further resolved that $11,865 be transferred from the sale of county property account, non-departmental org, and that $6,471 be transferred from the major capital equipment account to in the courthouse and law enforcement center org to complete funding for the purchase of facilities department truck. Be it further resolved, the finance department is authorized to make necessary budget adjustments, transfer funds to major capital equipment, other account within the property management org. Fiscal note, total funding being transferred is $20,943, following $11,865 being transferred from 1131-556-015 to 1131-86050, $6,478 be transferred from or 1064-56-015 to 1131-86050, $2,600 being transferred from the 1142-86050 to 1131-86050. I move for approval, Madam Chair.
Moved by Supervisor Spiker, seconded by Supervisor Burns. Discussion. Supervisor Benrud.
Thank you. The reason that I did not vote for Ewald, I voted for Brennigan's. We did not have to take the low bid on this vehicle. The delivery date was sooner with Brennigan's than the other bid. The difference was $40 more from Brennigan's. He employs many people, which he and all pay taxes to La Crosse County. He also is on economic development for La Crosse County. I would ask you to please consider these facts when you vote. Thank you.
Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is Jim Spropoulos here?
Yes.
Well, I don't waste a lot of time in pictures or elegant speech. I pretty much call them the way I see them, and we're talking $40 here. If $40 is that big an object, I will pay that out of my own pocket. This, to me, is I've been on this board for 10 years, and I've seen some weird stuff go through, but nothing blew my mind like this one did. I'm on the edge of my seat. I just can't wait to hear the rationale on why we should give this to a company in Oconomowoc. Whatever happened to the slogans of buy Wisconsin, buy local? How are you going to explain this to your constituents when you take La Crosse County taxpayers' money and go to another county and buy a vehicle for $40 less? I'm sure there's going to be some arguments about service, but Brennigan, they pride themselves on service. They have excellent service. You don't have to go to Oconomowoc. You can get that done here. Now, this vehicle, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is going to require special oil. It's half regular oil, it's half synthetic, and that's going to cost you $35 for every oil change. Well, four oil changes, Brennigan will give you $10 off for every time you have your oil change. For four oil changes, you got your $40 back, and you can continue to get ahead $10 every time you have your oil change. My question to you, Jim, is what about delivery? Are they going to deliver this vehicle to La Crosse, or we have to go get it?
It will be delivered to La Crosse.
Okay, well, that will save us a ton of money there. Now, Don Brennigan, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He has all these dealerships. He employs hundreds of people. He pays thousands and thousands of dollars in taxes through his distributorship. All his employees, they own houses. They all pay taxes. He's a benefactor, probably one of the biggest benefactors to La Crosse County. He donates thousands of dollars that nobody even knows about. He does so many things behind the scenes, when my constituents call me and they ask me, what the hell is wrong with you people? Well, I'm going to have a list of telephone numbers for the people.
Supervisor Sobranek, watch the profanity, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that was profanity.
I think it is.
Well, we'll debate that later. But anyway, that's what I'll do. I'll give them a telephone number, and they can explain the rationale of this, because I just don't get it. And if $40 is what we're arguing about here, I'll pay that out of my own pocket. I don't want Don Brennigan to say, hey, if you guys what about, remember the biblical story about the 30 pieces of silver? Well, we got one here for 40 now. Well, 40 silver certificates. I just can't believe the betrayal here. And I don't know how you're going to explain this to the taxpayers. I just don't know. But there's no way in excuse my language, but there's no way in H that I'm going to support this.
Was there another question to Mr. Spiropoulos in that very eloquent statement of yours?
What was the question?
He asked the question about the delivery, yep. Supervisor Jay Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I have a question. May I move that the vendor be changed to Brenigan Chevrolet, or do we first have to turn down the
You can move to
resolution?
Amend the resolution.
Thank you. I would offer that amendment then to change Ewald to Brenigan Chevrolet in West Salem, and then I'd like to keep the floor if I have a second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Jay Johnson, seconded by Supervisor Ebert, to replace Ewald with Brenigan for the 18060 or whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes, the amount would need to change. That's correct.
And you still have the floor, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you. This is a hot topic, apparently. I find it a little bit hard to believe, too. I know there have been some fears that Ewald will never bid on anything again. I find that hard to believe over the sake of $40 that they're going to be that sore at us that they're going to turn away our business for forever. But, you know, economists are always telling us that every dollar that's spent in the local economy circulates 7 times in the local economy. So for the sake of that $40, I would much rather keep this money in West Salem, and I hope you'll support my amendment. Thank you.
Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask I'm going to ask Supervisor Johnson.
They're just louder down in Madison, evidently, the microphones.
Oh, yeah, I'm used to screaming. I'm going to ask Supervisor Johnson to tweak her amendment a little bit and follow the same amendment that I used in the executive committee so that we don't run into trouble with our ordinance. And here is how I would suggest that it should read. Based upon the potential faster delivery time, the county board hereby suspends its bidding rule and approves the second lowest bid of Brenigan Chevrolet in the amount of $18,056. I would ask Supervisor Johnson if she'd be willing to tweak her amendment to read that way so that we're
Supervisor
okay,
Johnson.
People-wise.
Okay, but only if you write all that on this form, because I...
I believe Supervisor Doyle has it written out already. It will just come under your name and Supervisor Ebert. So the amendment that we are debating now is the, to avoid legal trouble, is to choose Brenigan because of faster delivery time, and that we declare that in the resolution. On the amendment, Supervisor Friedland.
May I respectfully just ask if that information about delivery time is true?
Yeah,
in fact?
It was presented to the county board, actually, I believe, at our last meeting when we took this up. And I don't know, Jim, can you tell us, can you cite where that was?
Yes. Please. On the bid form, we asked for an estimated delivery date, and Ewald estimated 60 to 90 days, and Brenigan put 10 weeks. So that's where Supervisor Doyle's amendment comes from, right off the bid form.
And if I can, Supervisor Friedland, just ask that Mr. Shepard remind us why this is important. Because there are state statutes that preclude us from specifying geography. And so we're specifying something other than geography. Is that right, Bill?
Well, of course, this truck comes from the same manufacturer, so I guess that's what the bid form said. The state passed a law a little while ago requiring that local municipalities not consider the local vendors in public construction projects. And although this is not a public construction project, that seems to be the intent of the state legislature. But you have some flexibility in equipment. I think staff was just trying to follow what our purchasing code requires in bringing forth the lowest bid. But it's up to the board, I guess. You're the policy makers.
Thank you for allowing us to interrupt, Supervisor Friedland. Back to you.
Sorry. May I also ask if the delivery time is a relevant fact? Is it a need of the department?
Mr. Spiropoulos, will you address the delivery date?
Could you ask
and
the
its
question
importance?
Again? I'm sorry.
Whether it was relevant.
This truck will be used for snow plowing in the winter, so the sooner the better, of course.
Thank you very much.
On the amendment, Supervisor Geary.
Well, Jim, in committee, you told us it really didn't have a cost implication one way or the other. If we got it in 60 days, 70 days, or 80 days, you had other vehicles that were going to do the plowing until it got here. I think we're haggling over, is it going to get here in 60 days or 90 days? It's probably going to get here the same time either way. They're both going to order from the manufacturer. The manufacturer is going to send it to La Crosse. I think the delivery time will be the same. I don't think that's an issue. But what the Public Works Committee grappled with is how to handle this. This is an identical vehicle. There isn't any difference. Oil change, tires, nothing. It's the same vehicle. Okay. Brennigan's going to do the warranty work and the service work. They're going to make more money off that than they would off selling the truck. And I think Chuck and myself and other people have asked this for years. Bring in a resolution on telling us how to deal with this. If you don't want people out of county bidding on it, bring in a resolution. If they've got to be 5 or 10% below what the price is, bring in a resolution. We've asked for this for years for some guidance from the county board. How much work do you think Brennigan does outside La Crosse County? When they go to Oconomowoc or Dane County or Eau Claire or wherever, and they're $100 lower than the local vendor there, should they be excluded? Is the taxpayers really going to be better off statewide on this? Brennigan probably does more work outside of La Crosse County than they do in La Crosse County for sales. So all we're asking for is a little guidance. This is why I want to try and explain why the committee, I guess on a 4-3 vote, went with the low bid, because it was the identical vehicle, and we don't have any valid reason. We're trying to grapple at something that why we should give it to them. Jim just told you it's really irrelevant if it gets here in 60 days, 70 days, 80 days, or 90 days. It isn't going to cost us any more or affect the snow plowing. So if you want us to do this in the future, we're going to be arguing over this every time this happens. So somebody bring in a resolution through some committee and tell us when we've got to take the local people, even when they're underbid. In regards to the people who keep bidding it out in the future, I know there have been vendors in the past where we didn't take the low bid that have never bid back in La Crosse County.
Supervisor Bills Kemper.
With all due respect to, is this on the amendment?
Yes.
What he's talking about?
The amendment is to change the resolution.
Doesn't sound like it.
The amendment changes the resolution to a different.
But he's talking about a bidding process.
Supervisor Jay Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would disagree. I think these need to be handled on a case-by-case basis, but I also believe that the policy that this board passed before I was here states that we won't always accept the lowest bid on equipment, but the bid that is the most advantageous to La Crosse County. And I believe that spending taxpayers' dollars to the tune of $18,000 in La Crosse County is far more advantageous to La Crosse County than saving $40. Thank you.
So on the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Schrader, Spiker, Geary. The amendment is approved. So now on the amended resolution, discussion on that. All those in favor signify by, Supervisor Ferries. Under the wire, he did.
I'm not quick enough to my guns here tonight, but another reason why I think that it'd be advantageous to buy local here, not to buy local, but to buy from Brennigan, is because in your own personal life, when you purchase a vehicle, and I'm sure I know Brennigan's is a real reputable firm, and I'm sure the one in Oconomowoc is also, but especially in the service industry that this vehicle is going to be used in, if there is a breakdown, it seems. You know, my personal life, I found if I bought it from an individual company, from a company, they're more apt to slide you to the top of the list to perform service work as one that maybe was purchased from another dealer. And, I mean, I found that true in my personal life, and I would expect that probably would carry over into this industry. But that's why I would prefer to buy from Brenigan.
On the amended resolution, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Burns, Spiker, Flood, Schrader, Geary. The resolution as amended is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you. I think this one will be a little easier. I'm not sure. Second reading and final reading of driveway access to county trunk highways, an ordinance to amend state statute 8-4-1 and 4A of Chapter 8 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, regarding driveway access to county trunk highways. The analyst of the thing was right on. If you have any questions, Ron's here to answer why we did it this way. This was the suggestion of Ron Chamberlain, Highway Commissioner.
So you're moving its adoption?
Move for adoption, yes, ma'am.
Moved by Supervisor Spiker, seconded by Supervisor Cotter. Discussion on the ordinance. Supervisor Ebert.
I just wonder if the committee or the Highway Commissioner went to the, this doesn't affect any different on the townships, but if they went to the towns or the villages and the cities to get input, it seems to me that we're imposing something. And if we did that, then I certainly have no objection. But I think we have these tendencies to just do things without asking the municipalities involved. So I guess I would ask that question. If we ask the villages and the cities for input on this.
Mr. Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. On August 2nd, 2011, at 4:25 p.m., I sent an email to all of the Public Works Department of the affected municipalities with the attachment of the proposed ordinance and an explanation that this only affected roads that are only under our jurisdiction, not the municipality's jurisdiction.
Okay, and I thank you, and I appreciate that, because in the past, sometimes we have not done that. And I think that's a vast improvement. I appreciate that you're going to the people it affects and getting their input. Thank you, sir.
Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. The reason I seconded this motion is because it's of a transportation safety issue. And I think I thoroughly agree with our highway department that limiting and looking into the pros and cons of adding curb cuts and so on, it has very significant effect on traffic and safety. And so that's why I would encourage you all to support it. Thank you.
On the ordinance, all those in... Ms. Supervisor Feehan.
Could you just give us a brief explanation as to what the reason is that we need to pass this ordinance, the rationale behind it?
Certainly. We are the maintaining authority for various county trunk highways, that including many of those that go through other municipalities. All of the county trunk highways that go through the village of West Salem, Bangor, Rockland, and Holman belong to us. Hence, the liability is ours. The majority of the ones that go through Onalaska also belong to us, but not all. And then a portion of those that go into the city of La Crosse at a point belong to us, and then they become La Crosse's ownership and maintaining authority. And then at the point in time that they leave the city, they again usually revert to the county. Therefore, it is our liability issue, regardless who issues the permit along our roads.
Okay, so the liability is from traffic accidents that might occur from people entering onto the county highway system from these private driveways? Is that the
yes.
liability?
Yes. Okay. If a driveway is improperly placed, there's not enough site distance, if there's too much congestion in an area, if a driveway is placed such that it interferes with water drainage, those can all lead to liability issues for the county.
So at present, the local municipalities are responsible for licensing these or approving them?
We have no permitting in our ordinances for those particular sections.
Okay. Thank you.
On the ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ordinance is approved unanimously. Is that it for you, Supervisor Spiker?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Supervisor Burke, Executive Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 9-11, to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, acknowledge the best of public service. Whereas the following employee has been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to La Crosse County, Alan Blanco, Emergency Services, 27 plus years. Whereas it is the wish of the County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Flood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Item 9-9 to the honorable members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding urging Congress to pass the Complete Streets Act. Whereas many miles of streets are unsafe for people walking and riding bicycles or taking public transit because these streets lack sidewalks, crosswalks, space for bicycles, and make no room for people taking public transportation and provide no accommodation for people with disabilities. Whereas the Complete Streets Act of 2009 would direct state and metropolitan transportation authorities to adopt and implement complete streets policies for federally funded transportation projects to provide a full menu of transportation options to meet the needs of everyone using roads. And whereas complete streets that provide for the needs of all street users, including pedestrians, bicyclists, and those using public transit are cost-effective because they reduce congestion, improve conditions for new and future businesses, and could help to reduce dependence on foreign oil and automobile emissions by making it easier for people to leave their cars at home. Whereas La Crosse County is the first county in the United States to adopt a complete streets policy, and now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby urges the passage of the Complete Streets Act of 2009, which would direct state and metropolitan transportation authorities to adopt and implement complete street policies for federally funded transportation projects to provide a full menu of transportation options to meet the needs of everyone using roads. Be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to Congressman Kind and Senators Cole and Johnson. Fiscal note, there is no direct impact on the county's budget. I move for its approval.
It's been moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Do you want to indicate what happened at Legislative Committee, please, Ms. Supervisor Brockmiller?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It passed Legislative Committee unanimously as well.
Thank you. Discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Schrader.
Does anyone that is here have any information as to where these complete streets will be located, if they're in the city of La Crosse, if they're in the town of Campbell, where they are?
I think it's more conceptual than that, than actual identifying of specific streets, but perhaps somebody from... But he's, I think he's asking for which streets would be complete, and I think it's a...
I know they have done it in La Crosse, and I'm just hoping that it kind of flows over to the out county, that's all.
So did that answer your question, to know that it's not specific name streets, but it's the concept of all streets?
I don't believe it is all streets. I think it's more defined than that.
Supervisor, I'm going to ask Supervisor Hampson, as Chair of Health and Human Services, where I think this originated.
At Legislative Committee the other day, we looked at the wording of the actual federal bill, and it did use the phrase all roadways. So I think the way it's set up is that you keep this in mind when you're building a new road, that you need room for pedestrians, et cetera. And then as you rebuild an old road, you try to bring it up to that standard as well. It's not demanding that all streets and roadways be complete, but that you keep this in mind as a value when you're designing the streets. Did that clarify it, Mr. Schrader?
No, I guess I knew all of that. I just hope, I still hope. I was actually at the meeting where this was brought forth. It was at a state highway conference. And I just hope that it goes into the out county rather than just the city of La Crosse. That's all I'm stating.
Supervisor Feehan.
I guess I'm trying to understand why we're asking Congress to pass this. I, as a principal, I don't believe that Congress should be telling us how we build our roads in La Crosse County, and if we choose to do it this way, that should be up to the people of La Crosse County. So I'm going to vote against this just because I don't like the idea of having Washington try and mandate how we're going to do our business in La Crosse County.
Supervisor Billings.
Well, the third whereas refers to federally funded transportation projects. I think that's why this is going to Congress, because the funds are coming from them. And then for Supervisor Schrader, maybe you already know this from what you've seen at your conferences, but complete streets can be something as simple as spray painting the bicycle symbol on the road for the bike routes, or I'm creating a bump out for pedestrians. There are a lot of different elements that can go into complete streets, and it would be countywide.
Supervisor Mock.
Well, in the next whereas talks about the fact that they estimate that converting to complete streets will reduce almost 5,000 annual fatalities and 70,000 injuries among pedestrians and bicyclists. So it's something to urge the Congress to take a look at the idea of complete streets and maybe get serious about encouraging it.
On the resolution, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Two noes, Feehan and Bills Kemper. The resolution is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Burke.
Thank you. Item 9-10, resolution authorizing the advertisement for public sale and the sale of general obligation promissory notes, Series 2011-A of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $1,640,000 and related matters. Whereas counties are authorized by Chapter 67 of the Wisconsin statutes as supplemented and amended to borrow money and to issue general obligation promissory notes to finance any project undertaken for a public purpose and to refund municipal obligations, including interest thereon, and whereas it is hereby determined that it is necessary and desirable to issue general obligation promissory notes of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $1,640,000 for the public purpose of constructing highways and highway improvements pursuant to Chapter 67 of the Wisconsin statutes as supplemented and amended, and whereas it is now necessary and desirable for the county to issue its general obligation promissory notes, Series 2011-A, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $1,640,000 for the public purpose of constructing highways and highway improvements. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the County Board of Supervisors of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, as follows. Section 1, there shall be issued to the notes of the county in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $1,640,000 for the public purpose aforesaid. Section 2, for the purpose of offering the notes for sale, the auditor, finance director of the county is hereby authorized and directed to cause to be circulated the official terms of the offering and to publish appropriate notices of the sales of the notes in a newspaper to be selected by the auditor, finance director of the county prior to the receipt of bids, therefore, and to receive bids for the obligations on October 20th, 2011. The auditor, finance director of the county shall also cause to be prepared and distributed an official statement of or official statements including official terms of offering with respect to the notes. after Section 3, after receipt of bids for the notes and consideration thereof by this County Board of Supervisors. This County Board of Supervisors will consider a resolution awarding the notes to the best bidders, prescribing the terms thereof in the form of note and levying taxes in the specific amount necessary to pay the principal of and interest on the notes. A fiscal note, debt service funding will be provided for in the 2012 county budget. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Spiker. Discussion? Supervisor Schrader.
Does anyone know what the definition of a best bidder is?
The best bidder is the one that will offer us the lowest interest rate.
The one with the lowest interest rate.
Right.
So that's
right.
What we have to take is the lowest interest rate.
That would be the preference, yes.
Okay.
What if they're from Oconomowoc?
I didn't know if we could pick and choose this like we did before.
Unless that particular bidder has some special conditions, but typically we choose the lowest interest rate that we can pay.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Feehan.
What is the purpose of this promissory note? Are we refinancing something, or is there a purchase involved? What's the purpose for the note?
The purpose is for highway department improvements, road construction.
So this is in lieu of raising taxes in the county to pay for this?
Well, we actually will raise taxes when we pay off the note. It's a 5-year note.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Item 9-11, approval of policy and contract for non-exclusive recovery of human tissue from deceased remains at the La Crosse County Morgue, whereas an interest has been expressed by certain tissue donor agencies in using the La Crosse County Morgue to recover tissue from deceased persons for innovative tissue transplantation to qualifying persons, and whereas allowing such use of the La Crosse County Morgue will provide a public benefit to those citizens of the La Crosse County area whose quality of life is improved by access to the donated tissue and will result in a cost savings to the county by reducing the number of autopsies, and whereas the county will need to make improvements to the county morgue by providing water, an appropriate table, and other capital improvements to meet the needs of the tissue donor agencies, and whereas La Crosse County will charge a fee of $750 for each tissue collection event to help defray the capital improvement costs, and whereas each tissue donor agency that wishes to utilize the county morgue shall be required to execute an agreement regarding the terms of the use, indemnification of La Crosse County, and other appropriate provisions, and whereas the promotion of the tissue donor practice is in the best interest of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve capital improvements to the La Crosse County Morgue to allow utilization by tissue donor services. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to execute any non-exclusive agreements with tissue donor entities to accomplish the purposes of this resolution after approval by Corporation Council. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve a fee of $750 per tissue donation event commencing on January 1, 2012, and incorporate said fee as part of the comprehensive master list of fees charged by the county departments. Fiscal note, the total cost of capital improvements to the county morgue for tissue donation purposes is estimated to be $8,530. The annual review resulting from charging the $750 fee is estimated to be $9,000, with an additional estimated savings of $3,000 from reduced autopsy costs. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Flood. Discussion? Supervisor Schrader.
Imagine that. I see we have a corner here. Are these donor or these agencies that want the tissue, do you screen those people?
Well, there are three agencies actually in the state of Wisconsin. There's ATSF, MTI, and RTI. And that's the only people that do this type of thing.
Well, the only reason I asked that, I didn't know that. So they're the only ones that will be able to utilize this.
Correct. And they're all FDA approved and all that stuff.
Because there are some unscrupulous characters out there collecting tissue. That's why I asked.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Fian.
Come on, folks. Let's ask some questions here tonight. We can't just pass this without a few questions.
The committees have considered these, Mr. Fian.
They have, huh?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's no questions. Okay. Well, I have some questions. So my first question is, are these bodies that are unclaimed, or are these people that have designated themselves as organ donors?
These are people that either myself or my investigative go out to the scene. We're required by law to ask, once we realize that they meet a certain criteria, we're required by law to ask the family if they'd be interested in donation, or they have the stickers on their driver's license. And instead of, in the past, what they did if they were doing the recoveries at the funeral homes or the hospitals or stuff like that, instead of recovering there, they'll be recovering at our morgue and paying us a fee.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Burke.
Just a note that I did sign this particular resolution, but there was that change at the bottom in the fiscal note reducing it, so then I did re-sign that. Thanks.
Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. What's the anticipated cash balance issue in relation to it? Is it going to be self-sufficient? What about staffing and so on? I presume that has all been investigated.
Yeah. It really doesn't involve any of our staff. It's just the tissue bank people. That's what you're asking.
So there'd be no additional staff, and
no.
The anticipated fees would cover the cost of the capital improvement?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Cruz.
I just have an informational question. In the second whereas, it says that it will save the county money by reducing the number of autopsies. How will it do that?
Well, if we have an autopsy or if we have a situation where the person might have died of a cardiac arrest, you know, all the indicators like at the scene and the history of the investigation tell us that he probably died from a cardiac arrest. What we do is instead of doing an autopsy, and they were a tissue donor, the tissue bank would come and they would do a heart valve harvesting. Well, when they do the heart valve harvesting, they would also give us a what they call a cardiac path report. So we'd have the cause of death from the tissue bank without paying for an autopsy.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved unanimously.
Thank you.
While we're paging through those additional pages to get to item 912, just a heads up that we do have an addendum under executive committee, and I'm going to ask that just be moved to the into the agenda at the end of the executive committee portion. If that's at that point in time, I'll ask for unanimous consent, but just to give you a heads up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 912, first consideration of an ordinance number 97 to create sections 3.08, parent 1, parent R, 3.085, and 19.035, and amend 19.03 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, relating to the concealed or open carry of weapons or firearms. I move for its approval, and then we'll answer some questions about it.
This would be its first consideration.
Yes.
We need a second on the first consideration, seconded by Supervisor Schrader. Discussion at this point, so this will come back next month. Right, so we're not voting on the ordinance tonight. It's its first reading. Supervisor Fian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we going to be having a public hearing on this ordinance? Have we scheduled a time for that?
We do not currently have a public hearing scheduled on this.
Then I would like to request that we have a public hearing.
So a request has been made to conduct a public hearing on Ordinance 97. Do you want to set that time now? Just so everybody is clear, we will now have a public hearing. Any supervisor can request a public hearing, so we will hold one. Do we want to try and set a time now, or ask that staff take a look at the October and September schedules or early November. Supervisor Mettinger. That is how powerful each and every of the 35 supervisors is. Yes. To hold it? My mistake. We have to approve it. So it can be requested by a supervisor. So tonight is the time to take a vote on whether or not to hold the public hearing. So anyone can request it.
Is my request accepted? Do I have to make a formal motion?
No, I am acknowledging Supervisor Feehan's request for a public hearing on Ordinance 97, and we'll ask if there's a second to that request. Seconded by Supervisor Schrader. So now we need to discuss whether or not we will, in fact, hold a public hearing on this ordinance. So debate on that would be in order now. Supervisor Cotter.
Wouldn't there be a public hearing at the committee level anyway?
This came from a work group. It went through executive committee. There was public comment, but there was not a public hearing at the executive committee level where this came through.
Okay, thank you.
So debate on having a public hearing. Supervisor Mettinger.
That one person could do that, but I understand that we all have to get to vote on it. I think it's fine to do it as long as we do it in a separate time other than the regular county board meeting, not at 6 o'clock. You want to do it at 5 o'clock or whatever, that's fine. I mean, I think it's okay to people weigh in on this stuff, but I think it should be done earlier, not sit here for 3 hours listening to that. It should be like at 5 o'clock before the next county board meeting or something.
Well, what we're discussing right now is whether or not to conduct the public hearing, and I think that comment will be taken into consideration it's approved.
When would you consider the time? Is that another motion?
Sure. Other discussion on whether or not to hold the public hearing at a time suitable to as many people as possible. Supervisor Pedretti.
I guess that's more of a logical question. If you have a public hearing, do we all have to be present? Can one board member be present for a public hearing? Because I have no desire to sit and listen to.
I think we have to have a quorum to have it officially be a hearing of the county board. I think, yeah. Supervisor Bilskemper.
We can have as many public hearings on this as we want. All this does is ban concealed carry in county-owned buildings, with the exception of law enforcement people. So we'll go ahead and have our county hearing, and we'll vote for this 35-0 anyway. So I will not be voting for a public hearing on this issue. Thank you.
Supervisor Burke.
I think Supervisor Bilskemper makes a good point. If you look at the scope of the ordinance, it deals with standards of conduct for employees, and that is spelled out more specifically related to concealed and open carry, and that too is only in buildings. It does not impact parking lots or anything like that, or even when those employees might be driving to or from some other location. It covers only the building, and then as far as parks, it does not. There is no restriction in parks unless there would be some special event, at which time this person holding the special event would post that they did not wish to have them. And I'm not debating. I'm just
trying
to.
She's explaining why she doesn't think a public hearing.
I'm just saying that
necessary.
Realize the scope of it is very narrow. I don't think it does anything more. I won't debate it. I'm just trying to give an idea about the scope of it and support Supervisor Bilskemper, because we did, besides the executive committee, we did have a discussion in judiciary and law with the district attorney there related to that part of the law.
So on the merits of conducting a public hearing on Ordinance 97, Supervisor Feehan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will just say that I've received numerous phone calls about this, and so I'm acting in response to my constituents, and I don't understand why we wouldn't offer the public an opportunity to speak on this. And I would move that we hold the public hearing at 5 o'clock and that we limit the time that people are allowed to speak. If you want to say that we're going to limit speakers to 3 minutes, if you can't say what you want to say about this in 3 minutes, I think that, can we do that? One
question right now is on whether or not to conduct the hearing. I think earlier on in the agenda we talked about
that. That is in response to Supervisor Bill Skemper, my friend. I would just say that I'm doing this in response to requests from constituents.
Supervisor Sobranek.
Just a point of information. Who has authority here to conduct this, the county board or the committee?
Supervisor Feehan has asked that the county board hold a public hearing on the ordinance. So on the merits of that, Supervisor Geary.
I concur with Supervisor Bill Skemper that the vote will probably end up being 35-0. But I think we should have the public hearing if requested. I think if you had it at 5:30, you'd have 15 minutes left over. But I don't think the issue has been so contentious. The state of Wisconsin was, the second to the last state to adopt this? I mean, in the legislature or something, they've argued over this for decades. Decades, not months, years, decades. There's only one state left. Is it Illinois or something? It's got probably more gun crime than anybody, but be that as it may, we should allow the public an opportunity to weigh on this. If it took the state that many years to adopt it, I don't have any objection to it.
Supervisor Bill Skemper.
What's going to happen here is people are going to debate the concealed carry law all over again. It's already been passed and adjudicated that people have a right to do this. Now we're just talking about where it can be done. And they're not going to do it in county buildings, period. I don't care. They can come and talk all they want, but I won't let anybody conceal carry in county buildings other than those that are law enforcement. Thank you.
On the merits of holding a public hearing, any other debate? Supervisor Spiker.
I made a motion to approve the ordinance, and I support the ordinance, but I do not stop the general public from speaking on it. The law has been decided at state level, but we're talking at county buildings in it, and I think the public should have a right to be heard on it, regardless of one person shows up or 300 people show up. Thank you.
Just note that if 300 people show up, it won't be a 30-minute public hearing. So we will have to determine a time that is sufficient. Any other discussion on the motion to hold a public hearing? We're ready to vote. All those in favor, you know what, let's do this on the computer. So yes, if you do want a public hearing to be held. No, if you do not. A public hearing will be held on Ordinance 97. The vote was 20 in favor, 11 opposed. Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, I make a motion that this public hearing take place on October 10th at the County Board Planning Meeting at 5 o'clock and last no more than 1 hour.
A motion has been made to conduct the public hearing on October 10th starting at 5 p.m., which would be in advance of the County Board Planning meeting that night. It's been seconded by Supervisor Feehan. Discussion on scheduling the public hearing. Let me just hear from Mr. O'Malley, please, because he's going to tell us there's a conflict.
I'm sorry to interject, but at 4 o'clock is the Public Works regular meeting, and that will be budget. That's restricting all of their business and budget review for all of their departments to an hour. I don't know that that's realistic, but Mr. Chair or members of the committee could weigh in that their meetings generally take at least an hour just on regular business, and it's very difficult to fit in. So we can move that meeting if you needed it, but that is a conflict.
Thank Supervisor you. Doyle.
What's our agenda or our topic for policy planning in October?
How to hold public hearings. Mr. O'Malley.
It's the beginning of the explanation of the entire county budget. There will be and there are several other items that have been suggested for that night as well that I don't have on my list.
So are you saying it would be too crowded already to add it to that agenda?
I believe this will be a contentious budget. There will be a lot of issues you'll want to have addressed.
Okay.
So we're still debating.
Although I'm comfortable with my recommendation that will be presented to us.
We're still debating the motion to hold the hearing, the public hearing on October 10th at 5 p.m. More discussion. Supervisor Spiker, Chair of Public Works and Infrastructure.
I'm going to talk on our ordinance. The date of the public hearing shall be prior to the county board meeting where the ordinance is to be voted by.
Which would be our October 20th meeting. Supervisor Pedretti.
Well, that was my question. Is it how many days notice you need? Can you do it on the October 10th planning at 5?
That's the the proposal is to
the 20th. I heard.
No, the 10th. When we will vote on it will be October 20th. So the public hearing needs to be in advance of that.
Thank you.
Other discussion. Other Supervisor Hampson.
Can it be right before the county board meeting on October 20th, like at 5 that night, and then vote on it at 6 during that meeting?
Will you read the ordinance again, please, Mr. Spiker? Prior to the meeting. So Mr. Shepherd is saying, yes, that would be okay to have it on the same night as we vote on the ordinance. Mr. Spiker.
We always did in the past. It would be some place between now and the next county board meeting. This is always the way we did it before.
So we're still debating any other discussion on October 10th at 5 p.m., which is the motion that's on the floor. Supervisor Geary.
Well, I'm opposed to that if Public Works is having a meeting, because at least seven of us will have to be excused. It isn't going to be a one-hour meeting. Our easy meetings don't last 1 hour. I assume this is a little more than an easy meeting.
So are you making a motion to amend it from October 10th to October 20th?
Correct.
It's been moved by Supervisor Geary, seconded by Supervisor Schrader, to amend the motion to change October 10 to October 20. Is there discussion on the amended motion?
Yes, a comment.
Supervisor Geary.
The problem with the public hearing is the public's got to be well informed on what they can speak on. We're not debating the law. Yeah. That's already passed. You as the chair, if they're not speaking to what the ordinance is pertaining to our buildings, you just rule them, you got to rule them out of order. After this happens to a few
speakers, I'll make you sergeant of arms that night, so you can help me with that.
No, we'll have the sheriff here, don't worry. But you've got to keep the public focused on what they can talk about on these public hearings, or they get rambling.
Thank you for the advice, Supervisor Geary. Supervisor Spiker.
Did you say the time, too? You said
5 o'clock. The amendment was to change it from October 10 to October 20, so it will be 5 o'clock on October 20th.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the amendment to make it October 20th at 5 p.m. signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is approved now on the amended motion, October 20th at 5 p.m., signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, we will hold a public hearing of the county board on October 20th at 5 p.m. on proposed ordinance 97. Supervisor Meyer.
Point of information. Who will conduct a public hearing, you or Bill?
The county board chair.
Oh, I always thought it was the one that requested it.
Is this a point of information on the ordinance? Or Supervisor Hampson?
I'm just wondering if we're not going to, I know state law says we can't enforce it in a park, but what happens, what's our liability if there's a shooting in one of our parks?
Mr. Shepard.
Well, it's difficult to answer liability questions without specific facts because these kinds of things are really fact-driven. I can tell you that in respect to buildings, if you don't post them, the statute provides you with immunity. In parks, I don't know that it... that there would be an issue. There's recreational immunity, there's discretionary immunity. There are a number of immunities that are available to us, and I don't see that if two folks decide to have a duel in the parks that it's the county's responsibility, frankly. They will be answering to law enforcement.
Supervisor Bills-Kemper.
Just kind of a little reminder of history. We've had shootings in our parks before concealed carry, okay? Nelson Park.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did I understand you say that if we don't post buildings, we have less liability than if we do post buildings?
Well, not necessarily, but there is this unusual quirk in the law that if you don't post your buildings, the statute provides immunity. However, most legal commentators on this issue have said that if you do post your buildings, even though the statute does not provide you with immunity, other forms of immunity, so we don't believe that our liability increases by posting our buildings. We have discretionary immunity. We have other kinds of immunity, even though it isn't specifically granted in the statute. But it is an unusual provision in the statute that if you allow shootouts in your buildings, that somehow you should be immune from liability. I don't quite understand it, but then again, I'm not a member of the legislature.
Well, we know how those scoundrels are, so thank you.
Speaking of scoundrels, Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you. Just to point out, Bill's answer, however, does not apply to private entity. There is a concern that if I run a private business, there is a concern that the way that it's drafted, if I run a private business and I post no guns and there's a shooting, I may have some liability. So Bill's answer is, I agree with him as far as government, private businesses, no, that isn't a concern.
Okay, we are back to you, Supervisor Burke, on item 913, I believe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 913, this is the first reading of an ordinance to amend section 2.01, parent 2, entitled Supervisory Districts of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move its approval and ask that we waive the second reading and vote at this time.
Let's get it on the floor. Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Hampson. And now Supervisor Burke is making a motion to suspend the rules. This will take a two-thirds vote so that we can do both first and second readings tonight and get this approved in advance of the whatever deadline it is, I can't remember.
I move to suspend the rules and vote on this ordinance at this reading.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Hampson to suspend the rules. So on that issue first, so that we can debate it tonight, any discussion? Supervisor Feehan.
I'd request that we record this vote, that we vote electronically.
Oh, I'll be happy to accommodate that. Thank you. So on suspension of the rules, again, this is a two-thirds vote. If you would, I'm stalling. Vote on the computer. I'm sorry, are we debating roll call vote? Oh, we're debating the suspension of the rules. Supervisor Doyle.
Well, I think it's important that Bill explain the consequences if this does not pass tonight, why we do need to do this at this meeting this evening.
Mr. Shepard?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. Statute requires that the county board act within 60 days from the date that we received the wards from the municipalities. And what the Legislative Reference Bureau has advised the county clerk, and I have a copy of that memo if anybody wants to read it, but basically it says that that the final ward plans and the district plans from the county must be received by the Wisconsin Legislature by September 19th, 2011. So there really isn't time to refer this to the next month. One of the additional reasons that is provided in the statutes for not delaying it and get it passed is that if you don't pass this within the 60 days, that any municipality or person could contest your plan and go to court and get their plan approved by the court. Back in 1980, I've been around too long, we did have that situation arise with the city of La Crosse, and believe me, that was not a good experience, and eventually the judge had to make a ruling as to whose plan to adopt. He did adopt the county plan during that, but I think that in this case, all of the municipalities have cooperated and provided the county with the plans, with their wards, and so this plan has the wards that we need to pass it, and I would urge you to do that. There is one additional reason that the state needs this. They need to input the wards into the statewide voter registration system. The elections will come up soon. As you know, you have to take out nomination papers on December 1st, and there will be likely primaries that will occur after the first of the year in February or whatever. So I would urge its passage.
Supervisor Spiker. Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From the last couple of meetings, and this is for the forgiving at the first and second reading, last couple of meetings I've heard, basically there's really nothing that can be changed about it. And to expedite it through, that's the purpose for the first and second reading, so I would encourage my colleagues to vote for it. Thank you.
So we're voting on the computer to suspend the rules and consider both first and second readings tonight on Ordinance 96. So yes is to suspend the rules. Then we'll come back to the ordinance itself if that passes. Sharon, did you vote? Just like Chicago.
What's with the screen?
Waiting for a vote.
It just looks like chaos.
The rules have been suspended with a vote of 29-1 with one abstention, did you say? Oh. That was 21 is the two-thirds that we need. So the rules have been suspended. So now on the ordinance, any discussion on that? We'll do this on the computer as well. and a reminder that we're going to pick up item 920, if that's all right with everyone, that addendum item. The ordinance is approved with one abstention, so 30-1. So back to you, Supervisor Burke. Oh, I'm sorry, Supervisor Pedretti.
Just one little thank you to Jeff Blusky and Ron Roth and that staff. You did a fantastic job. Speaking as a town clerk, you were available to us to help with this, so I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for that reminder, Supervisor Pedretti. Back to you, Supervisor Burke, unless there's objection to taking item 9-20 at this point in the agenda, the item from our addendum. Go ahead. Thank you.
Item 9-20, approval of amendments to La Crosse International Business Park Declaration of Protective Covenants. Whereas the Declaration of Protective Covenants for the La Crosse International Business Park provides the covenants may be terminated, extended, modified, or amended with a written affirmative vote of 51% of the total number of property owners in the park, and no such termination, extension, modification, or amendment shall be effective without the consent of the City of La Crosse and County of La Crosse. And whereas Martin Warehousing LLC, owner of Lot 10 of the International Business Park, has requested an amendment to the permitted uses section of the protective covenants for the La Crosse International Business Park, as shown in Exhibit A, to exempt Lot 10 in order to allow vehicle and equipment sales and vehicle repair of a service. And whereas the Common Council of the City of La Crosse approved the requested amendment on Thursday, September 8, 2011, and whereas if property owners in the park, the City Council, or the County Board reject the proposed amendment to the protective covenants, the proposed amendment will not be allowed. And whereas the requested amendment is consistent with the stated purpose of the covenants to provide for the orderly and attractive grouping of service, manufacturing, and other industrial buildings and operations are and are not adverse to the interests of La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the attached amendment to the use restrictions contained in the covenants for the International Business Park with respect to Lot 10, also known as 3090 Berlin Drive, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Be it further resolved that the amendment to the use restrictions shall apply only to the parties requesting the amendment, specifically Martin Warehousing, LLKC, and CSM, Incorporated, doing business as Kenworth of Wisconsin. Be it further resolved that the County of La Crosse hereby grants its consent to the amendment of the use restrictions as required under Section 14, Paragraph B of the Declaration of Protective Covenants for the La Crosse International Business Park. Fiscal note, no cost to La Crosse County. I move its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Richmond. Discussion. Just for folks who are in Public Works and Infrastructure and or Executive, we have a map now up on the board, and Brian Fukuda is here if anybody has questions. I'm sorry, I saw somebody raise their hand. I didn't see who it was. Supervisor Richmond, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would urge the County Board to approve this unanimously. I think it's 30 jobs that we're thinking about here this evening, and we know how desperate we are for more jobs in La Crosse County and the state of Wisconsin. So we have an opportunity here to provide Martin Trucking to move into our International Business Park, and I would hope and urge County Board members to approve this. Thank you.
Other discussion? On the computer?
Thank you.
We check to make sure that you voted, please. That resolution is approved on a 28-3 vote. Is that it for you, Supervisor Burke?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First one we have is for PRD committee is item 9-14, conditional use permit number 840 filed by David and Diane Wood to expand or Diane Wolf to expand a non-metallic mining operation to extract sand burl material originally approved by La Crosse County Board of Supervisors on September 22, 2005 to include a new 7.37-acre parcel of land zoned exclusive agriculture district in the town of Bangor and Burns. This was approved unanimously, and there are 10 conditions. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Manti. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Item 9-15, zoning petition number 1874 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Dan and Joe Baldridge with Cindy Gerke and Associates acting on behalf of Green River Capital LLC, Navistar Mortgage and Funding Trust Series 205-1 and the Bank of New York Milton to rezone exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A for continued residential use and accommodate to foreclosure sale at W4217 County Road T in the town of Farmington. This was approved unanimously with two conditions. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Manti. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Item 9-16, zoning petition number 1875 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Dennis M. Maltard for a petition to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to Agriculture District A for continued single-family residential use at W1663 County Road A, the following described land in the town of Farmington. This was approved unanimously with no conditions. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Kyle. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Items 9-17, conditional use permit number 1842 filed by Mark S. Russell, doing business as Design Concrete for a conditional use permit to store construction equipment and tools in conjunction with a concrete contractor's business on 3.7 acres of land zoned Agricultural District A in the town of Farmington. If you read our minutes, you'll see we worked with this fella quite a bit. It was originally recommended to be denied. We worked with him and put some conditions on it, and it was approved with 8 conditions. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Mock. Discussion. Supervisor Spiker.
What was the department head's recommendation?
Denial.
Deny? Could I have Jeff come forward and explain?
Mr. Blusky?
Thank you, members of the board. Staff had taken a look at this site. We actually found this site on a zoning tour. The site had a bunch of contractors' equipment along with a semi-trailer parked on the side of the building, which alerted us to the fact that there was something going on. We found out that Mr. Russell had been running this business from the village of West Salem when he lived there. He moved from West Salem with an intent to build an agricultural building on this site. That's how the permit was actually issued. Mr. Russell then moved to Sparta, where he's been running this business. His office is actually in Sparta, but he's storing everything in the town of Farmington. Staff recommended denial on this because there was no home on this site, so there's no supervision on the site. That's basically why. So,
was there something in your minutes about personal property that he said he wasn't aware of or something?
In the discussion that he had with the committee, because one of our recommendations, as you can see on number 8, was that he had to report his income with the state, we required a state tax ID number. Evidently, he was confused. He hasn't been paying personal property anywhere on the equipment, so our requirement that everything be stored inside makes it kind of evident that the assessor, when he drives by, he's not going to see it. So usually on these conditional use permits, we require that they report to the local assessor all equipment that they have, and that's something that we do follow up on.
Your recommendation still will be to deny then after...
After discussion with the committee, staff feels that these 8 conditions are workable.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Item 9-18, zoning petition number 1876, amended La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by John Hilberg to rezone from Exclusive Agriculture District to Agriculture District A, a 14.59 acre parcel in order to split the farm, house, and outstanding buildings from the protective farmland at N557 County Road M in the town of Hamilton. Petition was voted on unanimously, and I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Ebert. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any suggestions for future agenda items? Supervisor Geary.
Well, I want Bill to, earlier in the thing, we bid out the bonds. We're going to get the bids coming when they come in. If a lending institution, La Crosse County, bids on it, let's say they're the second highest interest rate. Do we have to take the highest interest rate? If you don't have the answer now, I'd like it when it comes in. Yeah, or the lowest. Sorry, I had that reversed. But the local one could have been the highest. But whatever. Do we have to take that?
Or can so we you're take asking what? For a legal opinion on...
When it comes in. If it's advantageous to the county to take from a local lending institution versus the other one. I mean, I want kind of a spin-off of the earlier discussion. Is this going to keep going on?
Please don't log out on your computers until we've adjourned. Supervisor Burke.
With your permission, an announcement. There's a tour of the new Fish and Wildlife Visitor Center. They are not completed with construction, but this is at the intersection of Z and ZB on Bryce Prairie, Sunday, September 18th at 1. They're doing a great job there, and if you'd like to see what they are doing as far as the grounds around the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Center, that's 1 p.m. at the intersection of Z and ZB on Bryce Prairie, Sunday the 18th.
Supervisor Schrader.
I'd like to remind everybody, if you haven't seen it in the paper or on the news, that we're having our 8th Freedom Flight Saturday morning out of Colgan Air up at the airport. And you want to see a bunch of happy, excited gentlemen that gave a lot to this country, that's a good place to be. Be there by 7 o'clock or 6:30. They'll be there at 4, but you can be there.
And what's that date again?
Saturday, whatever that is.
Thank you.
I'll be there before that. Be there about 6:30. It's a good thing.
Supervisor Benrud.
What time do they get back here, Jeff?
10:30, 11 at night. Supervisor Sobranek.
Just a reminder for those who haven't RSVP'd, there is an open house at the landfill tomorrow from 11 to 1. They have food and refreshment. I recommend everybody go out there and see what a wonderful place we have out there.
Any other suggestions for future agenda items, which is really the agenda item that we're on? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point to ponder. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out what goes on in that split second when somebody looks at you and draws all sorts of conclusions? With that, I move to adjourn.
Moved by Supervisor Sobranek, seconded by Supervisor Kyle. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.